Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Don't sweat the technique. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Alex says, Booker T, I'm trying to win the fight, Alex. I'm not trying to lose the fight. Astro says, throw in Dell so he can stop trying. Vermont says, need some parkour guys to wear the gorilla out. That's not a bad call. Some gorillas would help. Some parkour guys would help beat up the gorilla.
Okay.
Because they could jump around. Mm. What's your deal?
Nothing. Wasn't following it.
100 coked up John Jones. Yeah, you only get one, though. You only get one John Jones. It's the rule. You can't have multiple people. But one coked up John Jones is going to do some damage.
He's nasty. Yep.
Google Eddie Hall and Brian Shaw, and you'll see why. I did Google them. Eddie Hall goes 6'2", 362.
Ooh.
It's a big boy.
Yeah.
How big a boy are you? 6'2", 362. That's
man.
Yeah, he is a large human. The other guy?
What about like Jonathan Ogden? He was that size.
It's a big man.
Yeah.
It's a big man. Brian Shaw goes 6'8", 430.
430?
He's a human being. Goes 430.
And he's in shape?
I mean he's big. But I mean,
he's in these World's Strongest Man.
He's a strong man, yeah. So he's like the strongest man in the world.
So he like pulls buses with his teeth?
Probably.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. 6'8", 430.
That's massive.
That is a big man.
And the 6'8".
Like, I might take one Brian Shaw against one silverback gorilla.
That's a big dude, man.
You're not losing with Brian Shaw and 99 other men.
No, the gorilla's going to have his hands full for a long time with just that one dude.
That's big. That's big. I wasn't familiar with Eddie Hall and Brian Shaw's game. That's my bad. Somebody said John Cena won't be able to see him. So cheesy. Brian Cushing. Brian Cushing was on my list. He'll do some damage. Mark Wahlberg, you see what he did in Planet of the Apes. I don't watch bad movies. Have you seen Planet of the Apes?
No.
I'm sure Brian has.
Probably sure. Twice.
Yeah, he's probably seen it all the time. Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz in his prime would have been good, but we can't go in their prime. Somebody says, I picked Stallone, Arnold, Statham, Seagal, and the Jean-Claude Van Damme character. Those are actors.
Yeah.
Actors aren't doing a thing. 100, Delonte West.
Oh, man.
I mean, if he's chasing LeBron's mom, maybe, if that's the incentive.
Stop it.
What?
Stop it. If he's got his violin
case. Why does
that
offend you? Why does it offend you that I took a shot at LeBron?
No, it doesn't offend me at all.
What is about the case, you said?
The violin case.
I don't know about the violin case.
He was caught speeding on the highway on a motorcycle with a violin case.
On his back?
And in the violin case were multiple weapons.
Was it on his back?
I think so.
I think I do remember the image now. Yeah. David Blaine says somebody, yeah, he could do a little magic. I'll be there so we're good. Okay, tough guy. You'll be there so we're beating the silverback. Has there ever been an actual proof of how strong a silverback gorilla is? All I've seen is speculation. I think that they've had feats of strength, silverback gorillas.
I would
like lifting logs and trees and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. I don't know how people document that stuff, but yeah, I mean, you can just tell that they're extremely powerful.
Over under 25 human deaths. So of my 100 that are fighting the silverback, I think that I'm probably losing 50 of them.
I was going to say, at least half of your list.
I think I'm losing 50, mm-hmm. for sure. But I'm going to win. Sacrifice, I show speed. You know who that is? The little influencer. Yeah, so I'm willing to sacrifice iShow speed.
What? So I looked up how strong
very
a
small
how strong a gorilla is.
Yeah,
apparently it's 4 to 10 times stronger than a human. It can lift up to 1,800 pounds.
Dang.
So
what did you say first?
4 to 10 times stronger than a human, yeah, and can lift up to 1,800 pounds.
It's only 4 to 10 times though. You get 100 people, you're easily winning this fight.
Yeah, if you all attack it once and surround,
you are.
I want you to read that text.
Anyone say Shaq bigger than a gorilla? He's not bigger than a gorilla.
Shaq's massive. He's not bigger than
a gorilla. But he's not bigger than a gorilla.
No, but he's massive.
What's the average? Like, the gorillas aren't that tall. I think they're under 6 feet.
But they're incredibly massive. Silverbacks, I don't think.
How big is the average silverback gorilla? I don't think they're that tall, Brian. They're like 5'5".
Yeah, this says 400 pounds and around 5 feet tall.
They're just incredibly wide.
Yeah.
They're like as wide as they are tall.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not that tall. So I think you could do a really good job of like surrounding the silverback. And you're probably going to bring them down.
As long as you surround them and someone chokes them out.
Yeah. That's why I got a little MMA guys there.
Yeah.
They can do a little choking. You get the big guys to bring it. First you get the sprinters and the athletes to wear them down by chasing them. Then you swarm with your size to bring them down. And then you get your mixed martial artists. Or you get a few boxers punching his head in. Then you get a few of the mixed martial artists and whatever is their best strength. You got by the neck, a little rear naked. You get them by the ankle, a little ankle lock, Kurt Angle, what's up? You go Ric Flair with the figure four, and you got this thing done.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty simple.
Well, and I think, I think that, like you said, do the eye pokes and take out the gorilla's ability to see where it's coming from.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Keep from LA, if 100 men rush the gorilla at one time, its animal's instincts will kick in and he will curl up. I don't see a silverback curling up.
No, I don't
either. Think that's going to happen.
No, I think he's going to go down swinging. He's going down on his shield.
Maybe initially when he sees a swarm of people, but then once he starts to get attacked, he's going to fight back. He'll definitely fight back.
The fight or flight is definitely fight. For a gorilla.
Gorilla's going mentally everybody after the first kill. I don't know, man. If they're like fighting for their lives, I think that the desperation of the human would kick in too.
The danger is giving the gorilla too much space, right? Like you have to swarm and overwhelm. So
D'Amico needs to be around.
Ooh, that was an omission right there.
D'Amico needs to be around.
Swarm, yeah.
He's also he's coaching up everybody on how to swarm.
Yeah.
Yep.
D'Amico would be very valuable in this.
Plus he's a big dude as well, so that would definitely help. But if the first people rush in and get taken out and then everyone chickens out and starts to run, or at least a few people do, then you open up the door for the gorilla.
You're not choking a gorilla out. The size of his neck is too big, and you're not punching it in the head. Look at the size of the skull.
You can still punch it in the head.
You can still punch him. Yeah.
It might not be effective, but you can punch it in the head.
Yeah, I just think that the sheer weight of all of the people that you have would be able to smother him.
I believe that there is a way, whether it's just you're choking him out or you're just like going to the neck punch and the trach, whatever. The front of his neck, you could like choke him out.
Yeah. You do a palm strike to the throat, like it's a Krav Maga or
maybe
something.
Maybe you couldn't do like a rear naked where you have the whole arm around his neck.
Right.
But maybe if you get him swarmed and his everything pinned back, you can just kind of
Eddie Hall could like flat out just drop his weight right on the middle of his neck.
A dropping knee.
Yeah,
I think that would work. A little dropping knee to the gorilla. If gorillas are 4 times stronger than you, then ask yourself if you can take on 100 people that you are 4 times stronger than. Can you take on 100 10-year-olds? No. No chance. My oldest is 11. You give 100 of him attacking me, I have no chance.
You really don't.
No. No way.
How many 10-year-olds do you think you could beat up?
25, 30. Yeah. Classroom.
I mean, I hate them, so I could probably take out quite a bit.
Oh, Joel will take out hundreds.
No question.
Yeah. What kind of environment is the fight taking place in? That's a good point. I think that you need to go, like...
Wide open space?
So you could either go wide open space, which would be native to the silverback, or you could go like octagon, which I think would be an advantage to the humans.
I was going
to
say like the surface of an NFL stadium, like just
okay.
get rid of the grass and just, yeah.
That would help. A grizzly bear would be worst, 8 feet tall, 1,000 pounds, for sure. Grizzly bear would be awful. Grizzly bears is one of the most amazing beasts that walks our earth. Mm-hmm. They're fascinating creatures.
They're fast.
I know. Yeah, they're good swimmers.
Yep.
Like you get 8 feet, 100, 1,000 pounds, and you can swim like Michael Phelps?
And their claws are nasty.
Yeah, that's a ferocious beast there. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Michael, you're in the Hive. What's up, Michael?
What's up, man? Y'all said the gorilla was 5'5". No, sir.
That's what the
real silverback gorilla is 6 feet tall to 8 feet tall. There's no gorillas, no silverbacks under five foot. They're all 6 feet to 8 feet tall. Chimpanzees are 5'5". But gorillas, the real silverback, are 6 feet to 8 feet tall.
A chimpanzee is how tall?
Yeah, I feel like that's a little off.
I think that's off.
I mean, I just Googled it. I mean, I'm not denying you, Michael. You're probably right. But I Googled, what is the average height of a silverback gorilla? And it says 5'5".
No, I just Googled it, too. It says a silverback gorilla can stand up to 6 feet.
Man, you're on that Ask Jeeves.
8 feet tall.
You're asking Jeeves, Michael. I'm on the real Google. I mean, I trust you.
You're on the real Google.
I'm on the real Google.
Only one Google.
No, you're on Ask Jeeves.
Only one Google.
Michael,
man.
You're on Ask Jeeves. Who are you asking, Grok?
You have never you've been screwing a chimpanzee with a Google. I mean, with a gorilla.
No, okay. I'm obviously having some fun with you, Michael. But Michael, literally, I'm right now on Google.com. I said, "What's the average height of a silverback gorilla?" And it says 5'5".
Ask the artificial intelligence.
That's what came up, man. Our Googles are different. Maybe I'm on the a different.
That's
Google
what mine now. Says too, Michael. It says they weigh 400 pounds
Google?
And around 5 feet tall.
What did you Google, Michael? Word for word.
My Google, I just read it to you. Silverback gorilla can stand up to 6 feet.
No. What'd you type in?
Huh?
What'd you type into the search bar?
I just typed in the height of a silverback gorilla. Height of a silverback gorilla. That's what I typed in.
You put average height of a silverback gorilla?
I got 5 feet.
Of a silverback gorilla.
I got 5.5. We're all getting 5.5 over here, Michael. But let's go with yours. Let's say the silverback gorilla is the tallest of its kind and it's 8 feet. How many humans are beating the 8-foot silverback gorilla?
I don't know. Never been to the jungle, but I know one thing.
Come on, man!
I know one thing. I'm not going to volunteer to fight it.
You and me both. You and me both. Appreciate you, Michael. Appreciate you. Yeah, that's a good point. I've never been to the jungle. What a great answer that was.
Yeah, if you fight in the jungle, I think it would take more than the 100 we've estimated.
Because now the
total
advantage.
Yeah, you're fighting on its terrain. It knows everything around. It could climb in the trees and everything. No, you need more.
Oh, so Texas is saying 5'5" on their front knuckles, and it's 8 feet standing
up.
Oh,
okay.
Google led me astray.
Yeah, I got a silverback gorilla can stand up to 6 feet tall.
Okay, like there's some conflict here. There's some controversy. We don't know.
Their wingspan is 8 feet, and their average size is 5 feet tall, 430 pounds, and can lift 1,763 pounds.
Strong beast.
Of dead weight. Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Strong beast. Silverback average wingspan is 8 foot. That's a problem. That's why you have to swarm. You're going to have to swarm it. Swap in polar bears.
I think
polar bears are... I think they're supposed to be like the meanest killers of the bear family, kingdom, whatever it would be called.
Not a grizzly or a black...
No, I'm trying to remember which one it is. It's either the brown bear or the black bear is the pansy. I can't remember which one it is. Like one you could scare off by... You know, making yourself big and waving your arms, the other one will kill you. But polar bears are supposed to be the meanest of the bears, I think.
I've heard that. I think it's the black bear that you can scare away. I think it's the black bear that gets scared. How did y'all talk?
Gary's on line one.
How did y'all get talking about fighting gorilla? Turn on the radio to listen to sports, and y'all are whooping the heck out of silverback gorilla.
Maybe the gorilla had a
That's
come,
why
man.
You love us lately.
20 El Tiempo margaritas versus three people who wins 20
now,
margaritas.
Well, that's why I have Paul on my list.
Is the gorilla
he's
a male or a
Tiempo
female?
Margaritas.
Well, I mean, we're not fighting a woman.
Okay, so then you could actually go for the grapes.
I'm not sure what that looks like on a silverback gorilla.
I'm not either, but I'm saying if it's anything like us, you could pretty much subdue or somewhat stun one.
You got to get past the 8-foot wingspan first.
Okay, well,
that's why you got to swarm and hold them down. Then you could think about that sort of tactic.
Ryan, I think Blankers could take out a gorilla by himself if the gorilla was walking a dog and let the dog grab on Joel's lawn. Or if you were a 13-year-old girl that worked at the trampoline place that wouldn't go over the intercom and say somebody door's open.
Right.
Yeah, Joel got mad by that one.
More if we were arguing about Davis Mills or Tua. 100 men versus a hippo. A hippo is another
hippo's
ferocious
a
beast.
They
I would
are
not
ornery, too.
I would go a hippo would have a better chance than the silverback gorilla.
Hippo. Better?
I think a hippo would fare better against 100 humans than a silverback gorilla.
Because of weight or teeth or both?
I think aggression. I think I think the uniqueness of the creature. Very different.
The body build is like almost like a brick.
They have a horn there. There's a horn. It's got a weapon equipped on its body.
Yeah, but is it swinging the thing at a high rate of speed?
Do hippos have horns?
Probably. Don't they have horns?
No, you're thinking of a rhino.
Don't they don't they have like the tusks?
Well, it's part of their teeth.
That's what I meant. Okay. That's what I meant. Okay. Like that's going to do some damage.
Oh, yeah, if they bite you, you're done.
Like that to me is the greatest weapon of like comparing the hippo to the silverback. The hippo's right there is going to do, I think, the most ferocious damage.
I think the gorilla would be faster, though.
But is the gorilla running?
I've seen them run.
How is the gorilla going to win if it's running?
Someone texted in, is it a hungry, hungry hippo? So good. That's fantastic.
It will be hungry, hungry that day. It's
going
to eat at least 60 of us.
Oh, man. The saying for bears goes if it's... I'm not reading that.
You almost did?
Yeah. My money's on the gorilla. He would start using a person like a club. Yeah, but how many people is he knocking out? Like, he grabs Kerry Strug, and he starts, like, knocking out people with Kerry Strug. I don't think he's getting
that
far.
If he grabs her, his hands are tied, right? His hands are occupied, and you could swarm.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why you have some
sacrifice. You got to swarm and sacrifice a few.
Hippo in water or land.
It's been asked, like, was it the same person? Because it keeps coming up.
The gorilla would
be a great
match. I
mean, if you're smart, I'd put the hippo in on land, right?
Eddie Hall deadlifts 1,000 pounds. That's insane.
And the gorilla is 1,763.
Sheesh. My wife, she will kill his soul in no time.
Kill his soul?
That's fantastic.
T-Rex destroys the gorilla. That's a whole different conversation. Polar bears kill for fun, says a texter. Let's see. Polar bears are about 10 feet tall, 8 foot tall as Sasquatch. Who's going to fight after your buddy's head is bitten off? I mean, you're going to fight. Like, if you see your buddy's head get bitten off, you're going to then try to fight.
You can't really run away.
You can't
run
away. That's why, I mean, I guess it does depend on the
venue. Venue matters.
Venue absolutely matters. But, like, where are you? If you have the gorilla that's going to fight, like, he's not going to go away, right? Like, so we're kind of like. We're kind of making the settings lead to conflict. Like, the play would be, like, go hide in a tree. Don't irritate the silverback and hope that he goes away and then you can walk away free. But we're saying there must be combat. There must be combat. If you see your buddy next to you, you know, get his head bitten off, you're going to join in with the other 98 and trying to beat up the silverback. Otherwise, you're going
to
be dead.
Yeah, for the sake of the question, I think this has to be you enter basically into an arena. And either the silverback leaves or you leave.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, then people just run off for their own benefit.
I think you got to put them in the octagon.
It'd be a big-ass octagon, but yeah.
I think you got to put them in the octagon.
I think you're probably right. But yeah, they are going to be casualties. There will be blood.
Like a male gorilla has a 1,300-pound bite force and enough strength to literally rip limbs from your body. We understand that's going to happen. It's going to be gruesome. It's going to be tragic. It's going to be awful.
How many do you think you can walk out with?
Well, I think I said earlier I'm going to lose, what, at least 50? Yeah. 50. I think I'll have 50 survivors.
50 survivors?
I think I'll have 50 survivors. I think 50 will lose their life. The gorilla will wipe out 50 of my 100. But I'm getting out with 50, and I'm getting out with a dead silverback. I think so.
I was trying to think, too, like, could you bring in someone that has like something for strangulation if you can't do it with your hands?
I mean, if you can't, I mean, what do you mean?
I was thinking, are you like,
talking about bringing in weapons?
Or like someone with very like long hair that you could braid and wrap around their neck and strangle them. I was thinking, you know, if there was a real life Rapunzel, you just take the braided hair and wrap it around its neck and strangle them.
What if the silverback has MMA training? What silverback has MMA training? Mm. It'd be a tough one. Jackie Moon in Flint, Michigan. Might have the best ever halftime show for the Flint Tropics. Huey and Spring. What does that even mean?
Why are we bringing up Will Ferrell movies?
I don't know. Only if Arian Foster is fighting. I mean, he can take a wolf one versus one. Remember that one? Arian said that a man could take a wolf.
Oh, boy.
I don't think so. At least not the average man.
I think a man could take a wolf.
The average man?
No, not the average man.
Yeah.
Like some of our finest.
Yes.
Some of our
trained
biggest,
MMA
strongest
fighters.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I think our strongest our strongest men would beat a wolf.
I agree.
I'm not beating a wolf.
Not the average man,
a
right?
Wolf is destroying me. Good knowing you. Chalk one up to the wolf.
Wolf one, Branham zero.
Yeah, I'm not beating a wolf. Brian's not beating a wolf.
No, I'm not beating a
Ryan's
wolf.
Ryan's not beating a wolf. Blankers may have a chance to beat a wolf. Can you beat a wolf?
I don't think so.
I don't want to.
I don't like the
depends if the wolf
trying.
Says, eh, after one of his takes.
I've seen a video of a hippo ripping an alligator in half and 30 more running from it. I think I've seen that same video. Hippos are underrated.
Hippos are killers.
Hippos are underrated. Blank hates puppies, kids, nickel corners, the Rockets, property taxes, beef fajitas, Draymond Green, trampoline park workers, and Rapunzel.
Says I don't hate Rapunzel. I'm trying to use her hair to strangle the gorilla.
Don't bring in Steve Irwin. He's not good with animals. Come on.
He's also dead.
That's tasteless. Well,
but that's kind of part of the deal.
We're not reading tasteless texts like that. 713-780-ESPN. Might go for the eyes until that SOB is blind. That's a pretty good strategy.
That's why I told you. Just
go the eye gauging. Yeah. Or gouging, rather. Everybody go for the eyes. That seems to be a popular one. 100 of the top NFL linebackers could take a gorilla. I would agree with that.
If you gave me 100 Patrick Willises,
yeah.
I think
give
they could take
100
him.
Aziz Alshires versus one Silverback. Now, is there a whistle involved and he's stopping?
Oh, no, there's no whistle.
Is the gorilla sliding?
Is there instant
sliding?
Replay? Is there instant replay?
Does the gorilla slide late?
Replay review?
Because if he does, I like my chances. How long would Branham need to prep to call the gorilla versus 100 men fight in the Toyota Center? Probably not that long.
You need some bios on some of the people you don't recognize.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
I would
you don't have to learn their name if they're going to die quickly.
It would be hard. Now, player identification would be tough. Because there's a lot of swarming bodies.
That's
like,
right.
Who's on the gorilla's back? I have no idea.
Yeah, you better have a lot of cameras.
Who was the first human that got offed? No idea.
A great monitor and a bunch of cameras.
They would need a good jerseys, good color on
the
jerseys.
Well, the jersey might get ripped off at some point in the process.
That's a good point. Player identification would be tough here, and that's critical for any good play-by-play guy. Hippos kill more humans every year than any other animal. I did not know that.
I also read that apparently polar bears are actually the only bear known to hunt humans. So, look out if you're around.
They hunt humans?
They'll hunt humans, yes.
Where do these things live?
Alaska?
Cold places?
Yeah,
I don't
want to
go there
ever.
Cold places?
Arctic regions. Okay, I'm usually not in Arctic regions. I think we're safe here.
Yeah,
closer to the
not
equator.
Not a lot of UH games called in the Arctic.
No, we're not going to Alaska anytime soon.
They used to have the Alaska shootout.
Yeah, but they don't have it
shout
anymore.
Shout out to Trajan Langdon.
That's right. He just get fired? As a GM?
I'm not sure.
Y'all forget I'm showing up, so we'll be all right. All these high horse texters, I'm beating up the Silverback.
Should they not on Twitch?
Man. First conversation I've ever had on this show that has made me want to text in, keep up. Other people are saying that we should be fired for having this conversation right now. What was the gorilla in the zoo that got out? Or what was the story?
Harambe.
Yeah. What was Harambe's story again?
Was it the Cincinnati Zoo?
Yeah, it was. A kid fell into the exhibit and like it picked it up or something, and they shot it or something like that.
That's right.
I don't remember the full details, but something like that.
So they killed it. They didn't tranquilize it.
They killed it.
Dang,
that sucks.
So
I mean, not for the kid.
No, but you don't know if the gorilla was going to hurt the kid, right?
Can't take the chance.
But you could have tranquilized it.
But no, I agree. I do agree with you. That sucks because, I mean, the kid came into its territory. It's not like Harambe went into its territory. Yeah. So the kid got it killed.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough one there. Mike Tyson, because he'll bite the gorilla back. Good luck. Rest in peace, Harambe. Silverback gorilla, hippo's a killer, Bun B the Trilla, Lakers in five.
Thank you, Shannon.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to some Nick Caserio talking about his draft and stuff like that. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Would Nick Caserio be one of your 100 people against the Silverback?
No.
He eats well. He's fit.
He could try and talk the grill into confusion.
Not that strategy.
I mean, like, the food, I mean, the talk salad, he could just try and confuse the hell out of it.
Like, he can almost hypnotize the silverback with his word salad.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
You think he'll know what a 1 versus 100 is?
No.
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 Depends on if the window's open.
That might infuriate the silverback to just slaughter him first.
Here's Nick Caserio. Did his little media tour. This first one with Texans Radio, John Harris, Mark Vandermeer. He was explaining his draft day process, Nick Caserio.
We kind of looked at some different scenarios. We were positioned down there at 25. Yeah. There was a couple situations, opportunities where if we could maybe move up, you know, to the top of the draft, not the top of the draft, but move up a little bit, yeah, either pick a 25 or move back, and just based, it's always based on kind of a pool or a pot of players. So once we kind of got down there in the 18, 19, 20 range, we were kind of looking at, you know, had a few players that potentially could have factored in, but even before that, there was a couple trade scenarios that were presented to us that we started to mull a little bit. And then when we got to the actual pick 25, you know, there was a few players that were on the board that we would have felt comfortable taking. We had three different trade scenarios that were on the board at that time. They were kind of weighing. And then when we factored everything in, we ultimately decided just moving back to 34 and picking up a couple extra thirds was the right thing to do at the time. So once we made the move, I mean, there was an opportunity or two where if we can get back in maybe in the bottom a little bit and grab a player, great. If it works, if it didn't, no worries. Then we'd be prepared to pick really. We felt we were probably going to pick that second pick on Friday at 34, which is the second pick. Cleveland was going to pick first more than likely, and then we were more than likely going to pick. And then after that, then it was an amalgam of, like, a lot of different things.
A what?
Amalgam?
Sheesh, smartest amalgam guy in the room.
Middle?
pretty generic there, right? I kind of got hypnotized there for a moment, but kind of, you know, that's your stock answer, right? Kind of, well, we're going to trade up, then we're going to trade down, then we traded down, and then we're going to trade back up, and, you know, that's normal Nick Caserio answer.
For sure.
An amalgorithm or whatever he mentioned there?
Do you, and you probably won't, you'll probably kill me for this too, but do you remember when they first started doing, what's the Home Shopping Network, is that what it is, whatever?
HSN.
Yeah, and they used to do that show where the one guy was like, we're going to start with this great item right here for $4.99. And
yeah,
he had the hype guy next to him that just go, ho, yep, ho, ho.
Yeah.
That's what John Harris does when Nick gets on a roll. He's like, yep, ho. Yep.
That's not a bad comp.
Yeah, it's kind of what I hear.
That's not a bad comp. I mean, pretty stock answer, right, Bremac?
Well, I think he had a tell there. And it tipped me off to something that I personally got a little bit heated about, but we all had fun with last week about this idea of, oh, Nick Caserio never drafts for need. It's always best player available. You listen to that answer he just gave, and he's breaking down with Rock and Roll and John Harris talking about when they decide to trade down. And in the answer, he says that basically they decide to trade down once the 18th and 19th picks happen. 18th pick, who was that? I wonder. Gray Zabel, huh? What position does he play? Offensive guard.
Offensive line, yeah.
Yeah, and 19. Oh, who was that? Emeka Egbuka. What position does he play?
It's a wide receiver.
Wide receiver. Were guard and wide receiver a need for the Texans?
Yeah, I would say so.
So in that clip, the guy who says they never draft for need told us he decided to trade down after the guard and the wide receiver went off the board.
That's a good catch.
I mean, I'm not saying Nick's a liar, but he's a liar.
I mean, he's a liar. He knows what a window is.
On this topic, he is for some reason a liar.
And it's kind of odd. It's kind of weird. I don't understand why he gets in his little. I think he just likes to be contrarian sometimes. Smartest guy in the room. Oh, you're trying to tell me what a window is? I don't even know what a window is.
100%.
You're trying to tell me what need is? I don't even know what need is.
That's that kind of Bill O'Brien snarkiness, but using intelligence as the
doesn't matter, Brian.
And I don't think he's a jerk. I think Caserio's
I love
nice Caserio. Guy. I think he's a good GM, but he has this weird.
It's a weird quirk that he has a bug up his butt about this topic, and then earlier in the year windows. That for some reason he's decided that he's going to stand his ground and push back on this for some reason. But right there, he told you he decided to trade down after 18 and 19 when a guard and a wide receiver, like kind of the last two guys of that tier that they would have been rumored to trade up for, went off the board.
That's really good investigative journalism.
Thank you,
Brian. That's
I guess so. Am I a journalist
Pulitzer,
now?
Pulitzer, I think, is coming your way. At least a nom. Pulitzer nom, I think, might be coming your way. Here's Caserio again. They asked him about Woody Marks and what the Texans GM liked about Woody.
Yeah, good football player. I'd say his versatility kind of has some three-down elements in some respects. I think his over his course of his career, he's got over 250, 60 receptions. So, yeah. Which I would say not.
Oh, that's it.
Oops.
Yeah, he really liked it's okay. He really liked Woody. He was willing to trade up a future third because he really liked Woody. He can catch the ball. One thing that he did say in this quote that like I didn't register to me whenever they drafted Woody. Remember he caught like 80-something passes as a freshman at Mississippi State? You know who the head coach was on that Mississippi State team?
The guy that's at Florida?
Mike Leach.
Oh, Leach.
Yeah, Mike Leach coached Woody Marks at Mississippi State when he caught all those passes. It was kind of interesting. Nick Caserio went on the Kay Adams podcast and was talking about all the trades and trades that he makes, seven of them in all in the draft.
We don't necessarily trade just to trade. Like I would say, even just going back to the trade that we made before the draft started, it's about positioning. We had a fifth, we didn't have a sixth, we had a few sevens. So the idea was if we could maybe accumulate some late picks for Saturday, that could give us an opportunity to kind of maneuver around, which we did. It's just about strategy and positioning and maybe giving you a few more bites at the apple. I would say specific to the trades that happened during the course of the actual draft as it's going, it's all player based. It's about supply and demand. It's about where do you think you have to get to acquire a certain caliber of player or a certain pot of players. So we're not afraid. And I think it's understanding the players, understanding the board. Mm. You put a lot of work and research into it. And just understanding where the sweet spots may lie. And you're not necessarily just doing a trade just to do a trade. It's about positioning. It's about strategy. And we're trying to do something that's fair and reasonable. We're not trading necessarily just to quote unquote win the trade. We went back and looked at it actually last night or yesterday. The seven trades that we did, I think we ended up plus 11 on the Jimmy chart. So, again, I didn't really know that. And when you're going through the draft, you're not trying to keep track of that. Well, are we winning? Are we losing? It's just, is the fair trade? Is there something you have to do to kind of balance it out? So we've never approached it. We have to, quote, unquote, win the trade every time. It's what's fair, what's reasonable. Is the other team willing to make some concessions or willing to make the agreement? And if they are, then boom, you go, and then you're on to the next thing.
Yeah, I had no idea if I won the trades, but here's the Jimmy Johnson trade chart showing that I won the trade. Just wanted you guys to know. I didn't know that, but I know that.
I like that for some reason for him it's a bragging point that he doesn't have to win trades.
But he is a plus 11 on the
But team. He is plus 11, just so you know.
I like this went back to a conversation we had after round one, though. Like I really don't think that Caserio is one who is like calling up these GMs and like, hey, I'll give you a fifth for a first. Like, to
Agreed.
Me, I do think that he gives fair offers. Might not always be accepted, obviously. Yeah. But I don't find him as that, like, car salesman GM who's trying to pull the wool over your eyes.
No, I see him more as the overthinking strategist that is looking to be three steps ahead in terms of, like, what resources he needs in case he may want to do this or that.
Last one, Caserio being asked a question by Kay Adams about the offensive line.
You're one of the few that's made a very astute observation.
Take
Kay,
it
about
easy,
the composition
Nick. You're married.
Of that group right now. So I'd say we have a lot of players that have a lot of experience, not only in NFL, but in our system as well. So have some players that are tackle only, have some players that have experience playing tackle and guard, have some players that are guard only, have some players that can play all three inside positions. So we feel like there's going to be really good competition amongst that group. I think we have a lot of confidence in the players that are here. I'd say add an Ursary to that group. We feel as a player that's going to enhance that competition as well as play a lot of football, brings a certain physicality and a mindset and a toughness to that. So we'll get the five best guys out there on the field, and you know we're going to have eight at the game every week. But you know we feel that overall that's a pretty competitive group, and we feel like at some point – it's all going to manifest itself, and there's an opportunity for us out there that we feel makes sense that we can add a player. We're never going to turn that down.
I think he was flirting a little bit with Kay.
Yeah, no doubt.
You had the astute observation, Kay.
What was her astute observation?
That the offensive line has a lot of pieces, and they're going to be competitive.
Oh, boy.
He's flirting with Kay. He's a married man. He's got kids.
He's doing the Teddy Johnson.
Teddy Johnson
shooting
do?
A shot. Oh.
To who?
Taryn Hilo.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty well known.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. She admitted on the air.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I like Ted.
I do, too.
Ted always
showed
up well.
With a few ladies in the office as well.
He was very nice. Ted was very nice.
Oh, yeah. Never had a problem with him.
Yeah, never had a problem with him. He was always very kind. He treated me way better than I deserved. for a guy who had multiple obvious. Super Bowl rings. Yeah, I was a big fan of Big Ted. That's what I called him. I call him Big Ted. 713-780-ESP. I didn't call him Big Ted. I'm kidding. Last one, Casario, giving us an update on Ladarius Henderson.
LD's been working his ass off really since last year. It's unfortunate he kind of had a deal with a couple different foot injuries, one that he was aware of, maybe one that kind of came to fruition when he got here, was new, but he's worked really hard. He's been here essentially every day since the season has ended, so he's got a great attitude, very upbeat, very positive, a lot of energy. You know, he was a player that we thought was going to be competitive with the group last year, played tackle at Michigan, had some snaps inside as well, so kind of fits with the rest of the group. So awesome human being, just a great kid. So he's had a good attitude. He didn't let allow what happened last year to affect his overall work ethic and mindset. So he's been great to have here, and we're anxious to see him on the field.
Who's Ladarius Henderson? I don't remember who Ladarius Henderson is.
I had this.
Who the f*** is that guy?
But I had this in the audio, too, when I heard it, because I forgot that they had drafted him.
I don't remember this guy. Was it the guy that had the Hodgkin's lymphoma?
No. That's a defensive guy.
I thought there was two of them. Like, you're thinking, like, the one that you're thinking of is Dylan Horton.
Yeah, Horton.
I thought that they might have had two. Actually, it was Mechie. It was Mechie and Dylan Horton. Those were the two. Yeah, I don't know who Ladarius Henderson is.
Okay, good. I was going to feel bad about playing the Conor McGregor.
I think that he was a guy that was, I don't want to say highly touted, but that people thought highly of at Michigan, that they drafted or brought in knowing that he was hurt, but that he could turn into something.
I don't remember him. I'm sure I remember him when he got drafted. Seventh round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Waxahachie, Texas. It's a good town.
Way down yonder in the Waxahachie.
I think it's the
Chattahoochee.
Chattahoochee.
Yeah, we use that for
hotter than a.
Never mind.
Yeah, we used it for you, Yusei.
Who's Kikuchi?
I love you. I miss Yusei Kikuchi just for the drops. That guy was gold.
Hadn't been good for the Angels.
Has he not been?
No. Actually, he pitched against Verlander like a week or two ago.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener. Like, what do you want us to do next? You want us to do car wreck of the day, or do you want us to do Bad Take Boulevard? We got both ready. We only have time for one more segment. We do what y'all want us to do. So what do you want us to do? 713-780-3776. You do a vote. It's up to you guys. You want Bad Take Boulevard, or do you want Car Wreck of the Day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Mike Holla, U of H, class of 1990. Go Cougs. Chris Fisher over at A&M Giggum. They've been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. Simply, they're going to take your business, help you take your business to another level, up an echelon. HRMP is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. You need a little help with HR. You want some help with payroll, benefits administration, all of it, none of it, one of it, whatever it takes, HRMP is going to be there for you to help you in your business needs. Their customer service, fantastic. You'll never talk to a stranger. Always talk to someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. We use HRMP here at Gal, of course, so I can attest to that customer service. Fantastic. They do great work, and I mean that. Let HRMP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business. Take your business up a level. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRMP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.
This is Ron Ansano with your market scoreboard report on ESPN 97.5.
Stocks closed higher but off the highs of the session today as Microsoft and Meta delivered better than expected quarterly profits after the close yesterday and powered the NASDAQ today. The Dow was up as much as 300 points but finished with an 83-point gain to 40,752. The S&P up 35 points off the highs at 5604. The NASDAQ, though, up 1.5% or 264 points to 17,710. Now, after the close, Amazon delivered its results better than expected, but light guidance for the second quarter given that how tariffs may affect the company. Amazon's down about 2.5% in after-hours action. Long-term bond yields dipped on some weaker-than-expected economic data this morning, but then jumped back up to 4.21% by the end of the session. Dollar firmed up, oil moving higher by 79 cents to $59 a barrel after President Trump warned other countries not to do any oil business with Iran. Gold tumbled $78 to $32.40 the ounce as we wait for tomorrow's unemployment report, which could be conceivably a market-moving number.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
I'll give you a you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
This is what you texters asked for. You asked for car wreck of the day. So car wrecks of the day, 713-780-ESPN. What is yours? What is yours, Blinkers?
Guys, it's becoming more painfully obvious every day that the TNT Inside the NBA crew just doesn't care about a whole lot in their last season. And Charles proved that with their promo for their newly acquired French Open cover.
Roland Garros from Paris, the clay courts. One of the tennis Grand Slam events, and it's on TNT and streaming on Max. Our first year of that coverage. Can't wait for it to start.
Changing that from French Open to Roland Garros is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Stop. Trying to keep a nice relationship with our new partners.
We gave $60 million a year.
Can they? It's May 25th.
We gave $60 million a year.
So they can change the name if they want.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling the French how to do their business.
They gave them $60 million a year. They better shut the hell up.
Wow. Probably the last time we'll run that promo. It's that time.
What did he say? From French Open to
Roland
Garros?
They're changing the name of it from the French Open to Roland Garros.
They are?
Yep.
Well,
I didn't know that either until they read the promo. But
why are they doing that?
It's no longer known as the French Open. It's Roland Garros.
I agree with Chuck.
That kind of like the British Open wanting to be known as the Open?
That's very different, right. I think.
Okay.
I feel like it's very different.
It'd
be like the French Open wouldn't be called the Open.
See, but Roland Garros is the only place that hosts the French Open as opposed to the Open moved around.
They don't call the Masters Augusta.
That would be the equivalent, yeah. That would be the equivalent.
That is so stupid.
Right.
I agree with Chuck.
But I wouldn't say it on the air. Remember, we just got done talking about today?
You
kind of don't do what's going to aggravate the guy who signed the check.
I think Roland Garros is happy about it. Like, this gave him some attention. Like, when would have you played Roland Garros? When would we have talked about Roland Garros?
Never.
Thank you, Chuck. Look how much exposure Chuck just brought to Roland Garros. This is what they paid for. Well, I guess they didn't pay. TNT paid $60 million. All right, do yours. Yours are better than mine.
No, my other one's not ready.
Jameis Winston?
That was mine.
Oh, that was mine. Okay.
So, Jameis Winston, who, outside of one very famous incident in a cab, has been a national treasure. I don't know if this one is a national treasure. He tried to say, straight from The Sopranos, Gabagool.
Gabagool from The Sopranos. Gabagool.
Gabagool.
Yeah.
Gabagool. 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 For Thanksgiving, that's going to be epic. Gobble, gobble, goo.
Jameis Winston, the gift that keeps on giving. But
the first one wasn't bad.
Yeah, but get the word right.
You said it right the first time.
You're playing with Tommy Cutlets now. Get the word right.
Is Tommy Cutlets still on that team?
I believe he is.
So they got Dart, Russ, Jameis, and Tommy Cutlets?
I believe so.
Tommy Cutlet has no chance.
Hard Knocks would be fun.
He got rid of his agent, though, that looked like he was on The Sopranos. Yeah.
What is gabagool? It's a piece of meat?
Yeah, it's a cured piece of meat, yeah.
How do you feel about cured pieces of meat?
I love them.
I do, too.
I like them smoked, also.
I do, too. Do you like a good charcuterie board?
That's what I was just going to say. That's where you get the...
Absolutely.
My wife put me on charcuterie boards. I used to not really, like, think twice of them, and then, like, she, like, loves them, and we have them, like, not that much, maybe twice, two or three times
a year.
They're so good.
What's the name of the meat, the cured meat you're talking about?
Well, there's different ones. Gabagool is one of them, but there's, like, salami on them. There's fancy words.
Yeah, there's...
Pepperoni sometimes are on them.
There's another, that's not one of them, but there's one of them that I'm thinking, prosciutto?
Oh, prosciutto.
Prosciutto.
It's like Italian ham.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You get like the cheeses.
Pancetta.
Salami. Capicola.
Yeah.
I nominate the Lakers and J.J. Redick, too.
Yeah, I had Luka's defense on there.
Or J.J. playing the entire lineup, the entire
second. Do you like
goat
cheese?
It's okay.
How do you feel about olives?
I don't like olives.
I don't like olives.
I don't like olives at all. Black or green.
I don't love fruit on my charcuterie board either. I like the meats and cheeses. Bring me the finest meats and cheeses in all the land. All right, what's going to win? Brian, tell me to shut up.
I think the TNT
talking
guys.
About meats. Roland Garros is good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That is good. Who wins, though? Roland Garros or Chuck? Both. I go Roland Garros.
Roland Garros, yeah.
Roland Garros is the winner. It's like Nick Strait. They both can win.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Ryan. He's blank. I'm Brian. I'm off tomorrow. We'll have a usual suspect in for me. Coming up next, Inside the Icebox with the great Joe Jordan, some jabroni. It is the Bees. Goodbye. Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.